Second Timothy. Second Timothy. Since time is flying by like it is, and the return of our Lord rapidly approaches, and as this world gets worse and worse and worse, and our Lord said it would. He said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. As the days of Noah, as the rains are falling heavily, better get in the ark. But as time is flying by, perhaps I should preach, we should preach this book, this third chapter of Timothy, should preach it more and more frequently, especially to our young people. This message is to our young people. Parents, I want you to make sure your young people are listening. The whole letter of Paul is to a young man named Timothy. How old he was, I don't know. It doesn't say. A young man named Timothy. Look at chapter 1. In verse 5, chapter 1, he says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, the true faith that's in you, which was first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. This young man, Timothy, his grandmother and his mother heard and believed the gospel. And Timothy was raised up under the gospel. And Paul urged him in chapter 3. Now look over there, chapter 3. Paul urged young Timothy in verse 14. You got it? Paul urged young Timothy in verse 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Continue thou. As you grow older and as you get out in the world, continue. That is, think on. Act on, remember, the things you've heard. What things? What have you heard? Well, verse 15. He says, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, God's Word. I want you to think about it. You've heard God's Word, which he said, in verse 15, is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He says, I want you to think on God's Word, all that you've heard, preached. Think about it. Remember it. Think about it. Act upon it. God's Word, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. Now, young people, if you do not yet feel that the Lord has revealed Himself to you, you keep listening. Continue to listen. Think on what you've heard. It's able to make you wise. It's the only thing it is. God's Word. Much wiser than your peers. Now you seek the Lord. You continue to listen. God will reveal Himself to you. You seek the Lord. That's His promise. God will reveal. Seek the Lord with all your heart. He will reveal Himself to you. All right, look at verse 14 again. Young people, look at it. Verse 14. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. You've been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Not Paul, but God. You know these things in your head. You know what you're hearing is true. You know it, don't you? Don't you? You know what you're hearing is true, don't you? Huh? You know it's true. Nothing goes on here but the preaching of God's Word. You know it's true, don't you? You know it's true. And but though you may be unsure about yourself, your relationship with God or your future, you may be unsure about that. Everyone is. And though you feel the pull both ways, the world, truth. Continue, he said. Continue to hear and see. Well, you know these things are true. You know it's true, don't you? I want you to nod your head. I'm talking to you. You know it's true. Things you've been assured of. Knowing. Knowing. All right? Look back at chapter 1. Look at this. I'm sorry, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 22. Got it? Chapter 2, verse 22. Flee youthful lust. Flee also youthful lust. Now, he's talking to a young man here. Youthful lust. What does that mean? Well, young pursuits. What it is. Lust doesn't always, is not always talking about. I'm going to use the word. They see it everywhere. Lust is not always talking about sex, but anything that you absolutely just consumed with, desires. Young pursuits, he says, flee young pursuits. Young pursuits, the reason he calls them youthful lust is because young people, when they see something, they don't even stop to think about it. They dive in. Don't they? Young men, you know, are, while they may be good workers, they tear up a lot of things in the process. And old men have said it right, don't they, Rick? Let's build this and wait and stop and think. You see, youthful pursuits. Youthful. Let's go after it. Youthful lust, the world, and that does include sex, drugs, drink, materialism, fame and fortune, youthful pursuits. And older people are not necessarily over this. Well, youthful desires. Now, let me deal with this thing of God's word deals with everything. God's word. If I sound flustered. Youthful urges. Young ladies, men, young men, physical urges. You know what I'm talking about. And God puts within the hearts and the minds and the bodies of young people and old desires like this. There's nothing sinful about those desires. God put them there. Right? There'd be no procreation of the species. There'd be no reproduction of the species. God put it there. These desires and the desire to be married, desire to have a home and a family and a job. So there's nothing wrong with that. That's not sinful. Don't let anybody tell you it is. Read Ecclesiastes, God's Word. Read the whole book. It'll tell you that. Don't let preachers tell you different. But these things are not sinful, physical urges and natural desires. They're God-given. And when fulfilled in marriage, when this physical urge that you, particularly young teenagers, get is fulfilled in marriage now. Marriage, it's good. It brings about happiness with a mate and eventually the real consummation is children. But outside of marriage, God forbids it. and there are dire consequences of it. Outside of marriage, you better curb your passions. You better curb your passions. To release them to anyone at any time will be may be ruinous to you. It may be ruinous. In this day, in these perilous times, it may kill you. It will certainly be ruinous to a young girl's reputation from that day forward. It will be hurtful to your marriage later on. You listen to me. Parents, you want me to say these things? All right, but the world now will tell you you need to express yourself, express your feelings, doesn't it? The world says, do not suppress your feelings. Do not suppress your feelings. Express your feeling. Let it go. If it feels good, do it. Express yourself, whatever it may be, anger, attitude. Have an attitude, which is nothing more than pride and anger and acting like a fool. Attitude. The world encourages that. God's Word absolutely condemns it. You young people, you know it's wrong, don't you, from God's Word? Don't you? You know it is. Don't experience it. Don't do it until you have to experience it and go through the gutter and find out. Take God's Word for it. You hear me? You hear Him? Surely you see what's happening around you. All right, and Paul describes our day here in chapter 3. Look at it, 2 Timothy 3. He describes our day. You know, it was his day too. Paul's describing 2,000 years ago. And it sounds like he's talking about 1999 here. Why? Because things are not no different. Man's the same. Teenagers are the same. You know, teenagers are the same now as they were then. They were the same back then. Teenagers, all a 14-year-old could think about when he was getting a little older was getting a new horse or a chariot. Oh, I'm just getting my own set of wheels, man. I got to drive Dad's old chariot. I need my own set of wheels, man. And I need a few rubles or whatever the money was there. A few shekels and a set of wheels, and man, I'm off to Rome. Ain't no different. Who are you going with? Ain't no different. Ain't no different whatsoever. Paul describing his day, and it's the same in our day. 2,000 years later. The only thing is now there are more people on this planet. There are more people. The restraints are fewer. Or that is, God is lifting His hand. When we talk about restraints, we're talking about God's hand. God's restraining grace. God is lifting His hand off of this world. Yeah, He is. He's lifting His hand off this world. It's obvious because it's becoming more and more openly wicked. Openly defiant. Openly defiant. And God is moving His hand off of this planet until it becomes harder and harder and harder to find anyone with true faith in the true Christ, with true morals and true virtues. Our Lord said this. The Lord Jesus Christ said this when He walked this planet. He said, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Is He going to find anybody just worshiping God or just playing religion? Is He going to find anybody trusting Christ and Christ alone, really looking to Christ? Or is He going to find a people with Jesus on their lips when their heart's far from believing that they need a righteousness, that they need a blood sacrifice? Christ said that. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? It's going to be increasingly harder to find. Until God destroys this planet like He did Sodom. You remember the story of Sodom? You remember when Moses was interceding for Sodom? He started out
said, Lord, are you going to destroy this city for 50? Would you destroy this city if you found 50 righteous people in it? You remember? I would say no. Moses went on down. Remember? Moses, 45? No. 40? No, I won't destroy it for 40. 30?
He got down to 10 people. Lord, if you just find 10 people, Sodom had about 2 or 3 million people in it, according to some. At least a million. About the size of what? What city today? What big city? I don't know. One major city. At any rate, 10 people. If you find 10 people, Lord, if you just find 10 righteous, will you destroy this city for 10? 10 people who worship God as God, who have given God all the glory. I mean worshiping God, not playing religion. 10. No, I won't destroy it. But just 10. Surely we can find 10. 10 people who truly worship and esteem the Lord Jesus Christ as all in salvation. There's 10. Just 10 people, person. No, you find 10. I find 10. 10 people. If you just find 10 people who believe sin is sin, like God said it, that homosexuality is damnable behavior, that sex before marriage is absolutely forbidden by God and condemned by God. Just 10 that believe this way. 10 people that believe God's Word is true, every word of it, that God's Word is true and not up for debate, not up for argument. 10 people that believe God's Word is true and everything else, man's opinion, no matter what they read in the paper, no matter what anybody says, everything else is a lie. Just 10. God says, if I find 10, I won't destroy it. 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. From Shannon, these three rows right there.
10.
When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? 10? All right, look at chapter 3 with me. He describes this day. And I hope there's 10 in here. I believe there are. Young people, look at it, all right? Chapter 3, verse 1. This know also. Now, you know these things are true, don't you? You know what I'm saying is true. Your conscience says so. This know also, verse 1, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous means dangerous time. Perverse, crazy time, insane times. That's what perilous means. Insane, absolutely insane, crazy time. Things happening that you just wouldn't have dreamed of years ago. 20 years ago, just 20 years ago, who was afraid to walk down the streets anywhere? What child in any city was afraid to go to school just 10 years ago? School? Sure, that's a safe haven. Perilous times. Crazy. It's crazy. It's gone crazy. Times. Why is it so dangerous? Well, look at verse 2. Perilous time. Because men shall be lovers of their own selves. On down in verse 4, it says lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They're out for themselves, out for their own pleasure. You know, there was a time, and this hadn't been too long ago, when a friend was a friend. I mean friends that I made in grade school were friends, and I'm speaking humanly speaking, were my friends till we graduated from high school and went our separate way. And we were friends. Friend was a friend. Even neighbors. Even neighbors were thoughtful, considerate, kind, do anything for you. Neighbors even. Loyal, might stick up for you in a pinch, in trouble. friend might even lay his life down for you. Not now, buddy. It's every man, woman, boy, and girl for himself. Unless it's a true believer. This is why I tell you young people, unless you marry a believer, unless your friends are believers, you don't have a friend. Unless you marry a believer, you don't have a husband. He's going to treat you like a husband ought to, or a wife. Unless a true believer, don't think for a minute that your friend won't sell you out. It won't walk all over you and turn on you and do anything against you if it means doing something for themselves. Lovers of self. Read on. Behind this, verse 2, behind this is covetousness. See that? Men should be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, said, money answereth all things. Money will answer all things. Money or material things, buddy. When you're young, you'll find that the most popular, now see if this is not so, the most popular ones are the ones who had the most toys. Is that right? The ones that had the most toys. And even now, they're the popular ones. Read on. Covetous. Boasters. Proud. Boy, if that doesn't describe this day. Big talkers. Big talkers. Oh, what a proud, talkative. It's no coincidence that talk shows are the most popular thing on TV. It's a sign of the times. This is a talkative generation. Everybody's got something to say, usually about themselves. Lots to say about themselves. Talkative generation. No restraints to the boasting of this generation. No restraint. Used to be, you take an athlete years ago. Used to be a man, although he felt like he was the baddest dude on the planet. Although he felt like, you know, he was the greatest ball player ever put on cleats. Cleats. Andrew. Cleats. Spikes. Cleats. He used to call them cleats. Man, he used to wear big things. Man, they'd tear you up if you stepped on you. Big old spikes on our shoes. You men wear those. Had steel in the end of them. Steel spikes. At any rate, man might think he was the baddest ball player to put spikes on, but he didn't say so. He'd attribute all that to mom or you know, his coach in Little League and all that, but not now, buddy. Boy, you had a good day, didn't you? Wasn't I good? Oh, wasn't I something? Can you believe me? Like Mark McGuire said, I amazed myself. He did. He said, some days I absolutely amazed at what I've done. Oh, what have you done? I hit a little ball over a wall more times than anybody else. Oh, well. Wow. You're something. Hit a ball over a wall. Yeah, I did. And ain't that wonderful? Well, boasters, proud. Read on. Blasphemer. Look at this. Look at that. Young people, everyone, look at this word. Verse 2. They're blasphemer. The last days, these crazy times, blasphemers. If this isn't a sign of the time, you hear it out of everybody's mouth now, don't you? Huh? Young kids found school say, oh, God. And I hesitate. Nobody that says that. And for that matter, older people say, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord. Lordy, Lordy. They don't know God. They don't know God. They're blaspheming. Every person in here turn to Exodus 20. Exodus chapter 20. Not long ago, we turned back here and looked at something about graven images, didn't we? Remember that? If you don't know where this is found, we better find out. Exodus 20. You got it? Did you turn? All right, Exodus 20. Look at verse 7. This is God Almighty. I mean God Almighty speaking out loud. And he says in verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." That means ever use his name in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Print it, say it, use it. That's not in absolute worship, fear, dread, glory, praise, thanksgiving for his glory. Ever use it. Flippantly, carelessly, needlessly, familiarly, constantly, ever use his name in any way. For, look at this, the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You say, what an innocent thing, what a harmless thing. What a, no, it's not. God said he'll not hold them guiltless who takes his name in vain. And what are your young friends that say in this? The wrath of God abides on them. And people don't even use... Have you ever thought about all of the references that are so similar? Oh gosh. Oshkosh. My gosh. Where did that come from? Slang. Found out when I was in England that bloody, you know, I used to say, oh, he's bloody good. You know, it's bloody good blood. That had reference to the blood of Christ. By Jove. You know, we always say, well, by Jove. You know, I've ignorantly said that. Imitated in English, you know what I mean? By Jehovah. Blasphemers. And this goes without saying, religion. Religion. All this constant use of God's name and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Sign of the times is blasphemy. Never been a more blasphemous time than now. God's name is on everybody's lip. Everybody's bumper sticker. These billboards you see, they have some catchy phrase and then it's supposed to be signed by God. Let me ask you something. What would you do if somebody did that with you? What would you do if somebody plastered a billboard up and said such and such said this and signed your name to it? What would you do? We're talking about God here. God's written one thing right here. Any addition or subtraction from it is blasphemy. Blasphemers. This is the time. Sign of the time. Read on. All right? Read on with me. Verse 4. Verse 3. Incontinent. That means they cannot subdue their passions. Incontinent. That's what that means. They cannot withhold their passions. No, I'm sorry. I'm about to skip verse 2, aren't I? Blasphemers, excuse me. Disobedient to parents. Boy, wonder who was going to make me pass over that. Disobedient to parents. You see that, children? Sign of the times, perilous times, is a disobedient to parents. Teens, now teenagers, and please forgive me, Andrew, Hannah, Catherine, I was a teenager. I ain't got anything against teenagers. I was one. And it can be a wonderful time. It really can. It can be some of the happiest, most memorable times of your life. Nothing wrong with being a teenager. You can't help it. Teenager. And I'm not picking on teenagers. Please believe me. I just know them, though. I know them. I was one. Teens have always questioned authority. That's what happens when you get, when you hit 13, it's just, well, I know something, don't I? Now, for some reason, when you hit that magical, with an E on the end of it, hey, mom and dad, well, they're getting dumber. And I'm getting smarter. And that's wrong. Well, I know now. 14, always question authority. They always have. They always have, haven't they? I grew up in the 50s and 60s and 70s. We questioned authority. It really started becoming open and blatant in the 60s and 70s, didn't it? But your generation, Henry, back in the teens and 20s. Back then, you questioned authority, didn't you, as a teenager? Why is Dad making me do that? Every teenager questions authority. Okay? But now young people are being encouraged to do so. You know that? They're being encouraged to do so. That's why things are getting crazy. They're getting crazy because there's no authority. Nobody has to listen to anybody. I place the blame right here. In this pulpit, men are preaching God and not preaching a God who's just and who by no means clear the guilty and who is angry with the wicked every day and who punishes sin. Love, 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 love. Parents. Time to time. Read this, verse 2. And I'm not going to quit till this is done. This is too important. Verse 2. Unthankful. Oh, my. Unthankful. Well, they're not only unthankful, but men and women, young people, are belligerent, demanding. Give me what I deserve. Unholy. Unholy. Unholy means, holy means good, pure, right, wholesome, virtuous, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, good report, just, pure, lovely, good report, moral, virtuous. There's no absolute right and wrong anymore, is there? There's no absolute right and wrong anymore. And you're wrong if you say there is. If you call something wrong, you're wrong. Look at this. Verse 3 says, despisers of those that are good. You see that? Look at it. Last line of verse 3. Despisers of those that are good. And in verse 3, the first part, says, the sign of the times is without natural affection. Natural affection. This is not only talking about homosexuality. Romans 1 speaks very clearly of that. God's Word is so clear about that. And this evil, evil, wicked generation absolutely, absolutely refuses that. It's plain. You know what God's Word says about it. Don't need to go into that. But this is talking about natural affection in the affection of a mother and a father even. Listen to me now. Listen to me, young people. Mothers and fathers now give up their new babies to perfect strangers so they can drive a new Camaro. That's just not natural. Mothers and fathers will give up their babies to perfect strangers so they can live in a new house. Used to be, years ago, there'd be as much as 10 kids in a house. And they might not even have a floor in a house. But their kids were there. And they were all pretty happy. They didn't have the latest of everything. Didn't have the finest car and the finest house, but they were together. And they were happy. And those kids were being taught by mom and dad. Trained up in the way that they should go. Sign of the times is a young mother planning her to return to work before her unborn baby is even born yet. If that ain't a sign of the time. You young ladies, you young girls, you listen to me now. You listen to me very carefully on the basis of God Almighty's Word. You put it in your head right now that if God ever makes you a mother, you're going to stay home with that child.
and you're going to raise that child. Don't even think about getting married or having children unless you decide that. You hear me? And don't you marry a man who's not willing to support you every dime. You hear that, Sarah? Don't you ever get interested in a man who's not willing to go to work and support you with every dime he makes so you can stay home and train up your child in the way that it should go. Because God's word promise is if you do so, it'll not depart from it when it gets older. And there's no comfort for a mother who does otherwise. There's no promise for your child. Did you hear that, young ladies unmarried? Don't even think about it. When you become a mother, that's your career. That's your career. You got a soul in your charge. Can you think of anything more important? Can you think of anything that's more important than that you would sacrifice? And the promise is, if you do it, train them up in the way it should go. The world's not going to. The daycare's not going to. They're not going to train that child up in the way it should go. They're not going to tell it what you'll tell it. Sign of the time, buddy. Sign of the time. And I'm sorry if someone in here is hurt and upset. This is God Almighty's word. Warnings and promises. Without natural affection. Sign of the times. It's not too late, mothers. It's not too late. It's not too late. Look at verse 3. Truce breakers. Truce breakers. A person's word used to mean something, didn't it? Man say, I give you my word. You want to sign something? Henry used to offend a man if you didn't you, Joe? Pick on Joe. He's old now too. You didn't used to sign anything. You ever hear an old fella say, sign something? Well, man, my word's good enough. All right? Let's shake on it. Handshake. That'd seal it. Not anymore, buddy. You better have it in writing. False accusers. Look at the next thing. False accuser. Not only had you better have it in writing, you better have some insurance. They'll sue you. They're looking to. Sign of the times, buddy. False accusers. They're looking to sue you. Incontinent. Incontinent. Cannot with, will not control their passions and urges. Will not wait. And again, young ladies, if you are dating a young fella and he just absolutely will not wait, he refuses to wait, that means he doesn't want you, he wants your body. If he wants you, he's willing to wait on your body. If it's you he's in love with, he'll wait. All right? And you'll find out if you refuse him, he'll go find him a body. Oh, you're talking plain, preacher. Time is short. Perilous time. All right, verse 4. Yeah, verse 3, despisers of those that are good. Young people, you young people that attend services here, you know what's being preached here. You've heard it for years now. You've grown up under it. You've been taught. And you practice some sense of morality, don't you? Virtue. You try to practice some sense of virtue and restraint. You've been taught to do so, haven't you? Do you feel alienated at school? Do you feel different? Do you feel left out? Feel a little bit different than your friends? Do they kind of... they don't quite accept you as much as they do everybody else? That's why. This is why. Reverse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded. traitors, no loyal friend, heady, high-minded, pride of intellect, cynical. Cynical. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Oh, but folks go to church. They're all religious, aren't they? That's what he says next. They have a form of godliness. Yeah, they're religious. They wear a cross around their neck. Sure do. They deny the power thereof. Their lives disprove their religion. They deny a sovereign God, deny a sovereign, successful Christ, and their lives disprove their religion. Read on. Verse 8. I'm going to quit. It says, Jannes and Jambres, they withstood Moses, so do also. Now, he's talking about preachers here. Preachers that are men of corrupt minds. Used to be a preacher. Now, I'm talking about a man. It was absolutely unheard of for a woman to be a preacher. Because people believed God's word. And no woman would even think of it. Because God's word expressly condemned it. Not anymore, buddy. Who cares what God's word? Who cares? There used to be a preacher, was a man, had some sort of integrity about him, some sort of honesty. There were two men in the community, back in the old country days. Two men in the community were held in higher esteem than anybody else. The doctor and the preacher. Well, not anymore. You'd be hard-pressed to find one man in the public eye today that anybody has any respect whatsoever for. And the way you see preachers depicted on TV and so forth is this mealy-mouthed, silly little poor, weak, fallen fellows, aren't they? Men of corrupt minds. That's why. Because the sign of the time. A corrupt mind. Evil men, seducers, wax worse and worse. Read on. Verse 9. They shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest. They're going to be exposed. They all do eventually. Verse 10. Now look at this. Paul says, you've fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. You know what kind of preacher you got, Paul said to Timothy. In verse 13. Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Like I said, here's the whole problem. In verse 14, now, this is where we started. Are you back with me now? In verse 14, he says, but you continue. You continue in the things you've heard. Things you've learned that you're sure of. You know it's so. Knowing of whom thou hast learned these things, and that from a child, verse 15, from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And what I'm saying in closing to young people and old, what I'm saying, Brittany, listen to it. Catherine, young people, Jill, young people. If you go after the world, our Lord said this, if it's the world you're after, if you follow the world, if you go after the world, you know what you get? Let me tell you what you get. If you gain the whole world and miss Christ, you get a ticket on the Titanic. You've just got you a ticket on the Titanic. And it doesn't matter if Leonardo DiCaprio's on there. She's going down. But there's another ship, an ark, that's going to float. And Peter said in Acts 2, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Get in the ark. Don't miss Christ now. You know what I'm saying, so. Titanic?
heart. Huh? It's bad times, buddy. Bad time. They're going to get worse. They're going to get worse until Christ splits the sky. Until He splits the sky open. I'm not practicing fear. We're just preaching 2 Timothy 3. Isn't that a clear description of our time? Oh, may God impress, write this on the table of our young people's heart. Huh, mothers? Fathers? I know some mothers and fathers that sitting here now that wish their children were here right now. Children and grandchildren. Timothy! You know what I'm saying, son. You get on the ark. All right. Joe, what you got a hymn picked out? 127. And Sherry, you can either play or sing.
127. Number 127. Stand with me. Let's sing the first, second, and the fourth stanza. First, second, and the fourth.